recent Fox News headline entitled "Making a List" reported Antifa targeting specific businesses. You might think of that as a hit list. According to the report, demonstrations, violent riots expected to continue throughout the country. In some places, these have been going on for more than 50 straight days. We've seen vandalism, fires, graffiti, violent rioting, lawlessness, attacks on police, destruction of property, statues toppled and set on fire, racial slurs, people throwing rocks, bottles, paint balloons, and unknown liquids at buildings and each other, shining lasers and launching fireworks, explosive devices thrown, shootings, and on she goes. While some are making a list of people, places, and things to target and destroy, I thought we might make another list. A list of some Bible principles that are sorely needed today. These are principles of truth and right that come from the Word of God, which we believe and for which we stand. Let me suggest to you that one such principle that ought to be included in our list is when the Bible says, "Thou shalt not kill." Those four words are among the Ten Commandments given by God through Moses to the nation of Israel in the book of Exodus 20 and in verse 13. During the patriarchal age, it was set forth by God in the book of Genesis chapter 9 and verse 6. "Whoso sheddeth man's blood, by man shall his blood be shed, for in the image of God made he man." That principle upholds respect for human life. Yet there are a staggering number of murders that are taking place throughout our country, many of which are taking place in the city of Chicago, not too far north of here. A number of people recently were injured in a drive-by shooting outside of a funeral. So when things like that are taking place among our society, you do well to make a list of the fact that the Bible says, "Thou shalt not kill." But furthermore, we ought to include in our list the principle in the book of Leviticus 19 and verse 11, where it is said, "Ye shall not steal." Theft is a real problem. We've seen windows broken, people going into businesses and looting, thinking nothing about taking property from others. In the book of Exodus 22 and in verse 1, there's a principle that we do well to be reminded of concerning if a man steal. Listen to these words. "If a man shall steal an ox or a sheep and kill it or sell it, he shall restore five oxen for an ox and four sheep for a sheep." That's a good principle of restoring fourfold, isn't it, when it comes to theft. Coming to the New Testament, in the book of Romans chapter 1, Paul exposed the sinfulness of Gentiles. He talked about all unrighteousness and included among that list in verse 29, theft. Then again, in Ephesians chapter 4, in verse 28, Paul said, "Let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands the thing which is good, that he may have to give to him that needeth." You ever wonder when you see people for 50 straight days or more involved in those kind of things? Why aren't they working? How are they able to do it? Could you go 50 straight days without working to provide for your family and go hungry, wouldn't it? Wouldn't be able to provide for one's family as you should, instead of stealing from others. A person needs to involve himself in honorable work so as to have and to be able to give to those who need. These principles uphold respect for the property of others. But also, as I thought about making a list, how about including this in our list from the book of Leviticus 19 and verse 18, when the Word of God says, "Love thy neighbor as thyself." A lot of people have gotten away from that, if they knew it to begin with. In Zechariah 8 and in verse 17, the Bible says, "Let none of you imagine evil in your hearts against his neighbor." There's a lot of evil imagining against one's neighbor taking place in our society this afternoon. Jesus upheld that principle in the book of Matthew chapter 19 and in verse 19. When the young man asked about what to do to have eternal life, and the Lord referred him to the commandments and said, "Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself." In Luke 10, an individual was inquiring of the Lord about eternal life, and the Lord referred him to the law, and he willing to justify himself, said, "Who is my neighbor?" The Lord told a little story about neighborly love, familiar to Bible students. When a certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho, fell among thieves, stripped of his raiment, wounded him, and departed, leaving him half dead. No love shown there. By chance, there came down a certain priest that way, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side, likewise a Levite, when he was at the place, came and looked on him and passed by on the other side. Absent of love there. But a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was, and when he saw him, he had compassion on him. He went to him and bound up his wounds, pouring in oil and wine, and set him on his own beast, and brought him to an inn and took care of him. And on the morrow, when he departed, he took out 2 pence. He said unto the folks, "Take care of him, and whatsoever thou spendest more, when I come again, I'll repay it." The Lord asked, "Which now of these three thinkest thou was neighbor unto him that fell among the thieves?" And we know the answer to that. That's neighborly love. And we need a pandemic of that throughout our country and the world today. In Romans chapter 13 and in verse 9, the apostle, in writing the saints of Rome, again, that if there be any other commandment, it is briefly comprehended in this saying, namely, "Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself." You might think of these words, "love thy neighbor as thyself," as comprehensive. In verse 10, he went on to say, "Love worketh no ill to his neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfilling of the law." When you see people working ill to their neighbor, it shows a need to get back to loving thy neighbor as thyself. It was reported that in San Francisco, a bus driver was spat upon and beaten with a baseball bat after asking some passengers to wear masks. Can you imagine that? Where has love of one's neighbor gone? But then furthermore, when you make your list of these principles that we need to be reminded of, how about the golden rule principle that's set forth by the Lord in the great Sermon on the Mount, in the book of Matthew chapter 7 and in verse 12, often expressed, "Do unto others as you'd have them do unto you." Here's how the Lord said that. "Therefore, all things whatsoever ye would that men should do to you, do ye even so to them. For this is the law and the prophets." Would you have somebody to break down your gate? Would you have somebody to throw bottles and liquids and other things into your building? Would you have somebody to use racial slurs against you or your loved ones? Would you have somebody to set fire to your property? Would you have somebody to take your life and the life of somebody that means a lot to you? On the other hand, would you have those to say nice things and to be kind, like we read in just a few moments ago from Ephesians chapter 4? Be kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another. If we could just learn and practice this golden rule, do unto others as if we were the others, that solve all this overnight. If everybody would get back to that. As Paul said in Philippians 2:4, "Look not every man on his own things, But every man also the things of others. Folks have forgotten that, if they knew it to begin with, right? But also, when you think about these principles, making our list this afternoon, how about including in our list some grace, seasoned speech? I take you to the book of Colossians, chapter 4, and in verse 6. The apostle said, let your speech, that's mine, and yours as well, be always with one, grace. How often? Always. That doesn't leave any room for a speech that doesn't have this grace seasoning. He said, let your speech be with grace, seasoned with salt, that you may know how you ought to answer every man. How about grace speech instead of hate speech? When there are those that use all kind of racial slurs, and it shows a lack of grace in their speech. There's a war of words taking place today. You see that reported in the news on the headlines. Those who are supposed to be in a position of leadership, setting a good example, often are setting a bad example when it comes to that. So it's no wonder when you see folks who are in positions of leadership going at it like that, that you find people in the workplace in an exchange of war of words, war of words in people's families. It's a real battleground in some homes. Husbands and wives war against each other. Parents and children. In the book of Titus 2 and verse 8, we ought to have this kind of speech, sound speech. It cannot be condemned. That he that is of the contrary part may be ashamed, having no evil thing to say of you. While there are a lot of other things that might be included in such a list, I've limited it to one other. The total six is happening now. How about the principle from Romans 13 of being subject unto the higher powers? Paul said, let every soul be subject unto the higher powers. For there is no power but of God, the powers to be are ordained of God. Whosoever therefore resisteth the power, resisteth the orders of God, and they that resist shall receive themselves damnation. You've had a movement at work in our society for a good while now, known as the resistance movement, to resist the ordinance of God, to resist the power, to not submit or to subject oneself to the powers that be. Paul said he is the minister of God to thee for good, in verse 4, and to render therefore to all their dues. Verse 7. We need to be put in mind, as Paul writes Titus in chapter 3 and verse 4, to be subject to principalities and powers, to obey magistrates, to be ready to every good work, to speak evil of no man, to be no brawlers, but gentle, showing all meekness unto all men. And Peter expresses this concept so well in 1 Peter 2, 13 to 14, where he pens, submit yourselves to every ordinance of man, for the Lord's sake, whether it be to the king as a priest, or unto governors, as unto them that are sent by him for the punishment of evildoers, and for the praise of them that do well. And we're being told that don't send them here, don't send them. We don't want them. If they come, we're going to resist. We're not going to submit. I suggest to you that we need to get back to these kind of principles in our society. And what we see in society at large is symptomatic, really, of what happens when you get away from the Bible and the principles of righteousness that are contained there. These are six things that would help our society so much. So just remember not to kill, not to steal. Love your neighbor as yourself. Do unto others as you'd have them do unto you. Let your speech be always with grace and be subject unto the higher powers. Another thing you might want to add to your list, feel free to do. You might think of this as a start. These will go a long way. We encourage you to obey the gospel. If you've not become a child of God, to recognize, as the Bible teaches in Romans 3 and verse 23, that all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Sin is committed through the transgression of law, lawlessness. 1 John 3 and verse 4. The wages of sin is death. Romans 6 and 23. And God in His grace has provided a plan of salvation. It involves hearing Christ, believing in the gospel, repenting of one's sins, confessing Jesus, being baptized, and then being faithful unto death. If you've not obeyed the gospel, now is the time. Today is the day. Philippians 6:2. If you've become a Christian, but you've not been living as the Bible teaches, your sin and your life that needs to be corrected. What's keeping you from repenting of that? And confessing it in prayer unto God. John said, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us. 1 John 1:9. If you need to do that, we bid you come as we stand and sing the song.